All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off. Today's daf is Chaf Hei, a lot to do today, but we left off on Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, three lines before the Mishnah. Ha'onin and Mechusar Kippurim. So remember again, the Mishnah said that the Onin and the Mechusar Kippurim, so the Onin is the individual who has just lost a relative for whom he's obligated to mourn, but burial has not yet occurred. And Mechusar Kippurim, remember, is the individual who has not yet brought his karbanos. So the Mishnah said they need tevila for kodesh, but not for truma. Says the Gemara, my taima, kevan da'ad ha'idna havu asiri, atzichin rabbanan tevila. The reason for that is because since until this point, they were prohibited to go ahead and partake of kodesh. Again, the owning because of his loss. And the Mechusar Kippurim because he was Tamei. Therefore, before they go ahead and eat Kodesh, Atzichin Rabbanan Tevila. So it's an interesting idea where essentially the Mishnah says that any time you're coming off a state where technically because of your circumstances you are not permitted to eat Kodesh, by definition an additional Tevila is required before you eat Kodesh. Meaning, remember, in these cases, let's say the Mechusar Kippurim, he already went to the mikvah for his Tumah. He went for the mikvah the day before. But Lamaisi, you still require an additional Tevila in order to go ahead and eat Kachin. Says the Mishnah, Chomer mitruma, there is a certain chumra that exists, which, remember, in the previous Mishnah, we were speaking about the chumras, the stringencies of kodesh over truma. Now we're speaking about the fact that truma itself has a chumra as well. What's the chumra? Shebi Yehuda ne'emonin al taras yain v'shemen kolimos hashana. That in Yehuda, they are believed regarding the ritual purity of yain and shemen, wine and oil. This is for kodesh purposes. So we'll say in Yehuda, they even Amaretz is believed that his wine and that his oil is tahor for kodesh, for sacrificial purposes. However, for truma purposes, they're only believed that the wine is oil and the wine and oil is tahor for truma purposes. Bishas hagitos v'habadim. So we'll say gitos and badim are times of the pressing of the wine, pressing of the olives, and pressing of the grapes. So interestingly enough, at the time of the pressing, then lemaisa, again, the assumption is even ame ha'aretz are careful with the tara of the utensils. Avru hagitos v'habadim. What happens if the wine pressing and the olive pressing season ends? V'evi'olo chavis shal yayin shal truma. And what happens? And the Amaretz brings the coin, a barrel of wine, of truma. Lo yikisar bosai, remember again. So now what we're saying is over here an interesting idea that now there's a chumra that truma has over kodesh. What's the chumra? That in Yehuda, a stam Amaretz, a regular individual, is believed that his wine and his oil is tahor for kodesh purposes all year around, but is only believed that for truma purposes, his wine and his oil is tahor b'shas habad, at the time of the pressing. As Rashi points out, at the time of the pressing, everybody's makbid to go ahead and purify their utensils. So what happens if an Am Haaretz brings a coin, a barrel of wine, of truma, when it's not the pressing season? Lo yikab lenoimenu, shouldn't accept it from him. Avamanicha legat habab, it's very interesting, but what can you do? You could go ahead and leave the barrel on the side for the next pressing season. Rashi says, avamanicha, Am ha'aretz legat habav az yitnena l'kohen. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is saying is like this. Remember, this is a rabbinic prohibition. So essentially, the Gemara says, Kohen, you can't accept truma wine from an Am ha'aretz when it's not the pressing season. So the Am ha'aretz is going to know this as well. So what could he do? He could keep the barrel in his basement. And at the time of the next pressing season, he'll give it to the Kohen then. And what? And the Kohen is permitted to keep it, is permitted to accept it. Even though what? Even though the Maisa was prepared not during the pressing season. Because again, it's a rabbinic law. However, again, if the Am Haaretz told the Kohen, I went ahead and I separated into here a revius of Kodesh wine, Ne'eman. Then the Maisa, again, the Am Haaretz is Ne'eman. Because we'll say, once the Am Haaretz says that there was Kodesh in here as well, then he is believed about the Tara, about the ritual purity of the Kli. Kade Yain v'kade Shemen. Similarly, if you have barrels of wine, or jugs of wine, jugs of oil, top of Chaf Hei, Hamidumaos. And we'll say, what is Midumaos? Rashi says, Mefarish b'Gemara, V'hashta mashma kolt k'shal tevel chulin, Truma v'chulin mu'uravin. So we'll say, we'll see what it means later on. But Lamais, what the Gemara is suggesting, it means now is that it has a mixture of items in it. So Rashi says over here, what's the mixture of items? Tevel, truma, chulin, everything is in there. So the halacha is b'shne'emon alehen b'shas hagidos v'habadim. So the Amoraim is believed regarding their ritual purity at the time of the pressing. And again, gat and bad are the same thing. But gat is for wine, is the wine press. Bad is for olives. V'kodem legitos shivim yom. And interestingly enough, they are also believed regarding the ritual purity for the utensils, not just at the time of the pressing itself, but even what? Even 70 days prior to the pressing. Look at Rashi. Shivim yom. Makdim in the tire esakilim gito shayin badim shal shemen. Okay, because 7 days already before the pressing, they already begin to prepare their utensils for the pressing, and therefore they're already matire their utensils 70 days before. Rashi just points out over here, gito's gat refers to the wine press, bad refers to the olive press. Says the Gemara, be Yehudin ubegalilo. Now, I will say what's interesting over here. The Mishnah said is that the Ami Haaretz in Yehuda are believed regarding the ritual purity of their wine and of their oil for Kodesh, for sacrificial purposes, all year around. And most remember, we had this before, that the reason we want to believe them for Kodesh is why? Because if you don't believe them for Kodesh and you start turning away their karbanos, then what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Right? Breakaway Beis HaMikdash. Right? So what's going to end up happening is that people are going to go ahead and just simply make their own Beis HaMikdash. So what the Gemara is pointing out over here is that why is it Dafka in Yehuda? Right? Meaning if that's the case, then really the halacha is I'm accepting the wine and the oil of all Ame Haaretz. Of all Ame. So why Dafka in Yehuda and not Galil? So the Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish, is very interesting. Amar Reish Lakish, Bipnei Sheretzua Shal Kusim, Mafsekes Beinehem. Beinehem. So also listen to this, because apparently between the area of Yehuda and the Galil, there was a Ritzua. Ritzua literally means a strip or a strand of land that was occupied by Kusim. That was occupied by Kusim. But so remember, Kusim are interesting by themselves, because the Kusim are the individuals who had a conversion, but their conversion is subject to incredible debate. Actually, not so much debate. The conversion is not good, because Lamaisa, they were still found to be worshipping Avodah Zarah afterwards. Look at Rashi. Ritzua, Shel Eretz Ha'amim Mafsekes Bein Galil Yehuda. There's a strip of land that separates between Yehuda and Galil. Excuse me. Bein Galil liYehuda v'Yerushalayim, v'Yerushalayim beYehudi, and Yerushalayim, of course, is in Yehuda. Beis Hamikdash, v'Efshar lahavin liYerushalayim b'Tara, and therefore it's impossible to transport wine and oil from Galil to Yerushalayim in a state of ritual purity. Why? Lefi shegazru chachamim tuma al eretz ha'amim va'afilu shel chaverim shemigalil eino balin esachim. We'll say it's very interesting. So there is a rabbinic tumah that is imposed upon all lands outside of Eretz Yisrael. Many times in the Beis HaMikdash, if you travel to Chutz La'aretz, by definition, you were tummy. You were tummy. Now, part of the reason for that was a general concern that outside of Eretz Yisrael, nations were not as careful in marking and demarcating graves. So there's a general rabbinic tumah on Chutz La'aretz. So this is fascinating. So the Gemara says that historically there was a strip of land that was occupied by Kusim between Galil and Yehuda. So you couldn't get from the Galil to the Beis HaMikdash without going through that strip. According to the Gemara over here, that strip was so heavily occupied by the Kusim that it was given the status of Eretz Ha'amim, was given the status of Chutz La'aretz. It's amazing. Given the status of Chutz La'aretz, which meant that what? That it had rabbinic tumah, which meant that it was impossible to go ahead and bring oil from Galil and to the Beis HaMikdash without passing through that land, which meant what? That by definition, everything brought from Galil to Yerushalayim was rabbinically tameh, and as such, unable to be used within Eretz Yisrael, within the Beis HaMikdash. First of all, what's really wild about this, and the truth is actually very interesting, because it has a lot there. It also gets into some Shemitah controversy, which is there the ability to truly take away the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael? So meaning, let's say, now here, the Gemara is clearly saying the answer is yes, that Lamaisa, if it's occupied by Kusim, if it's occupied by Gentiles, and there's idolatry and everything else going on, that it could actually remove the Kiddush of the land, which also has to do, again, a lot today with the concept of Heter Mechira. The idea ultimately, does the vehicle of selling land to a non-Jew actually go ahead and remove the Kiddush of the land so as to remove it from Shemitah restrictions? It's an interesting discussion. In any event, the Gemara says, the Nesiv, Besida Tevo Migdal. So I have a resolution for you. Why don't you go ahead and transport the wine and the oil from Galil? Literally, Shida Tevo Migdal is a carriage, a trunk, or a closet, meaning in some type of kli, some type of kli that essentially would serve as what? As a barrier to the tumah. To which the Gemara says, no, 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 hamani Rebbe, whose opinion is reflected over its Rebbe? Da'amar, ohel zrok, lav shmei ohel. Because Rebbe's have the opinion of both say that a movable ohel, ohel zrok means a movable ohel, a mobile ohel, is not considered to be an ohel for tumah purposes. This sign we learned in a braisa, hanichnas la'aretz amem b'shita tevo migdal. If somebody enters in to the Gentile lands, right? The Eretz Ha'amim, in a shida tevo migdal, being carried in a carriage, a trunk, or a closet. So the halacha is Rebbe Metame. Rebbe says, you're still Tame. Why? Rebbe Yossi Rehuda Metayer. Because Rebbe Yossi Rehuda says that you're Tare. We'll say why? Because Rebbe will hold that an ohel zrok, a movable ohel, at the end of the day is not considered to be an ohel. So therefore, again, I can't even get it from Galil to Beis HaMikdash, even with a movable ohel. I velai suha b'chli cheres hamukav samit psil. But I'll give you another option. What's the other option? I will say, take it in a kli cheres, take it in an earthenware utensil that has a cover. That has a cover. Because suppose, remember again, earthenware utensils only become tame how? In the inside, right? Right? It only becomes from the airspace, from the inside of the kli. If something touches it on the outside of the kli, it doesn't become tame. So I have a great idea. Put the wine and the oil in the kli cheres, plug it up, transport it. You have no problems. To which the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Eliezer Shonin, because we learned Ain hektish nikdash nitzal but summit psil. We'll say because again that works for everything but kodesh, meaning sacrificial items are so sensitive to, or items that are going to use sacrificial, bless you, are so sensitive that they're not that again even with a earthenware utensil they could still become tummy. I v'hatanya we learned ain chatos nitzales but summit psil. But we learned that the Rebbe says the ashes of the paraduma that cannot be saved. With an earthenware utensil that's plugged up. My love, HaKodesh Nitzel. So we'll say, the Brisa only says that Chatas, that Paraduma items can't be saved, but we can infer from that what? That Lamaisa Kodesh should be saved. To which the Gemara says, no, lo, I'm sorry, HaKodesh Nitzel, lo, HaMayim Sheina Mikdashin Nitzolun B'tzamer Psil. No, what it means to say is that if you have water, Rabosai, what the Brisa means to tell us is like this. If I have the ashes of the Paraduma, or for that matter again, I have... Bless you. The water mixed with the ashes. So then again, for that, the earthenware utensil will not work. It won't prevent it from becoming tummy. But if I have the water that is going to be mixed with the ashes, but what? Has not yet been mixed with the ashes, and I put that water in an earthenware utensil with a seal, then lamaisa, that could save it from tumah. But however, when it comes to kodesh, even an earthenware utensil with a seal will not be able to protect it from kodesh. I'm sorry? The mayim is set aside to be used with afar, meaning it's not chulin because it was set as it was drawn already for the sake of being used with afar paraduma, but it's not yet chatas. V'ha'amar ula, but ula said, chavarya mitkan begalila. But ula said that lemaisa, our literally chavarya, the chaverim, meaning the tamidi chamim in Galil, matkan. Rashi says matkan metarin yenon ushmanon lemizbeach ve'iritzu mafsek islam metarin. So also here's the problem. So what we've just got finished saying is essentially there is no way for you to bring sacrificial oil and wine from Galil to Yerushalayim. There's no way because by definition you have to traverse that strip of land where the kusim live, which means everything becomes ritually impure. But yet Ula says that we know that the chaverim in Galil prepare the wine and oil for sacrificial purposes. So why are they doing that if we just said before that's not going to happen? To which the Gemara says, Manichen, the Gemara says, listen to what they do. It's amazing. They prepare it. Rebbe said, why do they prepare it? They prepare it ultimately against that when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, he will show them, look at Rashi, Shema Yavo Eliyahu, V'yiru Lehen Shvil Ba, She'ino Me'eretz Amim. Because they will say, because the people of Galil live with such emunah, that Eliyahu HaNavi Mashiach is going to come, what's going to happen, Mashiach is going to come. It's interesting. It doesn't say that Mashiach is going to go ahead and chase the Kusim out of Eretz Yisrael. So Rebbe said, the godless of the Jewish people is that we know how to live side by side with other individuals. So even when Mashiach comes, we're not chasing the Kusim out. We don't have to chase anybody out. Everybody's welcome to live in peace and harmony. What will Eliyahu do? Right? It's what puts us apart. What Eliyahu HaNavi does is he will show us the pathways to get through the Eretz Kusim that are tahar. Because Rebbe said, remember again, there is a blanket rabbinic gezeira on all Gentile lands that there's tumah. Now remember, remember, we know objectively, it doesn't mean there's actual tumah there. There's just the rabbinic prohibition. So when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, he'll show us a way, a pathway, through the strip of land in which there is no tumah, and the people of Galil will be able to get to bring their wine and oil to Yerushalayim. So we'll say, hey, amazing. So it's not a contradiction. At the end of the day, Lamaisa, what Gemara is saying is, Mishnah is saying is, there is no way presently for the people of Galil to use their wine and their oil for sacrificial purposes in the Beis HaMikdash. Impossible. They can't get it to the Beis HaMikdash without becoming ritually impure midirabanan. But Ula says, but I see them preparing wine and oil for the Beis HaMikdash. B'mihera b'yameinu Eliyahu is going to come, Mashiach is going to come, and Eliyahu will show them how to get that wine and oil to the Beis HaMikdash, but they want to be prepared. Quite amazing. U'b'shas ha'gitas ne'emana afal ha'tshuma. So the Mishnah said, at the time of the pressing, the wine press and the olive press, so they are believed even regarding truma, right? That then again, then Amei Aretz are believed even that their truma, that their truma star. Or Minhi Gemara is the Kasha Hagomer Zeisav Yishayer Kupa Achos V'Yitena La'ani Yakoin. If somebody is finishing up the pressing of their olives, the harvesting of their olives, Rashi says Amei Aretz Sheba Ligmor Zeisav. What should he do? He should go ahead and set aside one basket and give it to a poor kohen. Rashi says, Yishar kupa achas l'tzorach truma. So I've set aside one basket for truma. V'yitner ala ani kohen, Rashi says, V'yirena shalo hochshiru hazesim, v'akohen ya'asena betara. Alma b'shas ha'gidos v'abadim ein ne'emanah. So we'll say, it's interesting, because this price says over here, that l'maisa, if you're about to go ahead and press your olives, you know what you should do? Set aside one basket of olives, give that to the kohen for the truma, so that he'll see that, again, it's not yet mekabel tumah. But it contradicts what we just said, because we just said before that at the time of the pressing, even Ami Ha'aretz are believed to say that their truma is in a state of tara. So if that's the case, that they're believed to say that their truma is in a state of tara, why do I have to separate, why does the Ami Ha'aretz have to separate out his olives before the pressing, give it to the coin, order that the coin should know that it's pure? To which the Gemara says, Amar Nachman lo kasha, haba charfi, haba afli. One is talking about the early crop of olives, one is talking about the late crop of olives. Look at Rashi again. Ba'afli, shekvar avar zman agitos, l'ruba da'alma, kamar dol mehemen. So we'll say again, when it's quote-unquote the early crop, so the early crop is really the on-time crop. So when it's the on-time crop and it's the actual pressing season, then yes, the Amei Ha'aretz are believed to say that they have taken care of their olives and the oil and the kelim all in a state of tara. However, again, with the late crop, where it's not the normal pressing season, in that case, again, the Amei Ha'aretz is not believed regarding the ritual purity of his truma, and therefore, again, if he wants to give to the Kohen, he's better off separating out the olives themselves before the pressing itself takes place. What's an example again of these late blossoming olives? The Gemara says, and he answered, like the olives of your father's house. Rav Yosef said, Begalila shanu. Rav Yosef says, no, in fact, actually, we're talking about the Galil. Rashi says, Begalila shanu, umasnisin de katani de mehemni behuda koi, diktani resha, shebihuda neemon al taras yain vishemen, va'aloi koi vishasakitos vavadim afalatruma. So we're both saying, Rav Yosef says, it's not a contradiction. Why? The Mishnah, when it says that the Amei Ha'aretz are believed regarding truma at the time of the pressing, that's talking about in Yehuda. But the Brice that seems to indicate that they're not believed even at the time of the pressing is talking about where? It's talking about in Galil, which fits in very interestingly with what we learned before, because it could very well be that once it became abundantly clear that in the Galil, they're not going to be able to go ahead and ever bring ritually impure items to Yerushalayim. It's possible that what? It's also that they became generally lax. That's could be what the Gemara is describing over here. Esve, say Sabaya by raise the kasha. Over Hayardain Vigalil. Excuse me. Aver Hayardain Vigalil, bless you. Hari Hain ki Yehuda. Sabaya says that Aver Hayardin, Transjordanian lands and the Galil are just, bless you, are just like Yehuda. Ne'emanin al Hayayin Bishas Hayayin. Va'ala Shemen Bishas Hashemen. We'll say they're believed about the wine. Literally, at the time of wine means the time of the wine pressing. And they're believed regarding the ritual purity of the oil, at the time of olive pressing. But they're not believed, they're both say, for olive oil, for the ritual purity of the olive oil at the time of the wine press, or the time of the wine, at the time of the olive press, to which the Gemara are both say. So what do you see from here? You see from here that Lamaisa, even in Galil, at the time of the wine press, or at the time of the olive press, even Amei Ha'aretz are believed to say that what? That their truma is ritually pure. So we'll say the logic behind this is that when everybody's pressing, at the time of the pressing, everybody is more careful with their kelim. So therefore, and with the actual purity in which they're pressing the olives and they're pressing the grapes. So you see, it's not just for you, it's true in Galilee as well. Ella mechavarta kidishanina meikara. Rather, it would appear that our first distinction is the right distinction, namely what Rabosai? Namely, Lemaisa, that the Mishnah that says that even Ame Aretz are believed when it comes for Truma purposes, when it comes to the pressing, when it comes to wine and oil, is talking about when? At the time of the pressing. At the time of the actual wine press, olive press, they are believed regarding the ritual purity of their produce, even for Truma. However, again, when the Braisa said that they're not believed, that's talking about what? The late crop, which doesn't take place at the normal time of the pressing, and therefore the Maisa, they are not believed regarding the ritual purity of their Truma produce. Avru hagitos v'abadim v'eviyo lo chavis shayayin lo yikablena hemen avamanicha legat habas. So let's remember again. So now we just got finished saying that what? That Lemaisa, at the time of the pressing, an Am Haaretz is believed regarding the ritual purity of his truma. But now let's say what happens. The Am Haaretz goes ahead and wants to bring a barrel of truma wine to his next door neighbor, the Kohen, but it's not during the pressing season. So what did the Mishnah tell him to do? The Mishnah said, well, don't bring it now because the Kohen is not going to accept it. But what can you do? You could leave it. Just put it in your basement. Leave it, until the next pressing season. And you could bring it then. So they asked Rav Sheshes, Avar v'kibla, mahu shenichena legat haba. So we'll say, remember, the Mishnah advises the Am Haaretz not to give it to the Kohen and to essentially hold onto it until the next pressing season. Let's say, however, the Am Haaretz gave it to the Kohen and the Kohen accepted it. Now the Shaila is on. So we're all going to agree that what? Could the Kohen drink it now? No. But the Shaila is, could the Kohen just simply what? Put it in his basement and leave it there till the next pressing season. Amar Lahu, say, said to him, remember, this is Rav Sheshes asking. Amar Lahu, he responded, Denisua, we learned this. With Denisua, Chaver va'ama aretz shiyashu aser. Almost an interesting case. If you have a Chaver na ama aretz, remember again, a Chaver is someone who's careful with the laws of Tum and Tara, and his brother, the Am Haaretz, right? Every family has, right? There's the doctor, right? Mamish, he's the right, and there's the, right? Says the Chaver and the Am Haaretz. So what happened? She Yeshua Saviyim, and what happened? We'll say they went ahead and they inherited their father. Am Haaretz Yochel Lomar Tol Ata. Tol ata chitin shemakum ploni, v'ani chitin shemakum ploni. Tol ata yayin shemakum ploni, v'ani yayin shemakum ploni. Aval lo yomar lo, tol ata lach v'ani yavesh. Tol ata chitin v'ani sor. So also, this is a very interesting case. If we had more time, we could get into this. You'll look at Rashi, the first Rashi in the Daf. But this case is essentially like this. You have an chavar na amaretz. I will say, the part that the Gemara does not say explicitly is, the father was also an amaretz. So because the father was an Am Haaretz, again, the issues are with his produce. So the question is like this. So obviously, let's say they know that there are certain things that are not yet Mekabel Tumah. So there are certain things that were kept in a state of ritual purity. So obviously, the Chavar's son has an interest in getting that produce, whereas the Am Haaretz son doesn't really care as much. So the Gemara essentially says that they could go ahead and divide up the estate by one son saying, you take the wheat over here, you take the wheat over there. And what Breira says, Nabosai, the interesting part, of course, is, again, it's a little bit complicated. That's not complicated. The idea is like this. You see, there are two ways that you could view Yerusha. Yerusha, when two sons inherit, it could be that each son owns a piece of each thing. So if this is a piece of grain, so Am Haaretz owns this part, or they each own like literally a piece, like in every molecule of grain. So we'll say, interestingly enough, here's the problem, however. Once produce becomes property of an Am Haaretz, what happens to it? Right? Rabbinically, it's considered as if it's tameh. Right? The produce of a stam Am Haaretz is considered to be tameh, just rabbinically tameh. So the problem of this poses a problem, of course, again for the chaver's son. So we'll say, but what happens? You can employ the concept of Breira. Breira says what? That what we decide now creates retroactive clarification as to what was true from the beginning. So they can go ahead and use Breira to say, you take the wheat over here, I'll take the wheat over there, which means what, Rabosai? That retroactively, I never owned any of the wheat over there, you never owned any of the wheat over here, this was mine from the beginning, this was yours from the beginning, and therefore there's no co-ownership. When there's no co-ownership, therefore again, the brother who is a chaver The brother who's a chaver has no problem with having had joint ownership with his Ama Aretz brother, which can therefore go ahead and make the produce impure. So therefore, again, they can say to each other, you take the wheat over here, you take the wheat over there. However, again, you take the wine over here, you take the wine over there. However, what can't they say? Tol atalach va'ani yavish. Let's say what they can't do is that the chaver can't say, you know what, I'll take the dry produce, you take the wet produce, why rabosai? Because l'maisa, again, that's lifnei iver. Then at the end of the day, what the chaver brother is actively doing is he's giving tamei produce to his Ama Aretz brother, and that you can't do. That you can't do. Furthermore, what else can't you do? You also can't say, rabosai, this is all assuming that the items in the estate are like items. However, if the father has, let's say, wheat and he has barley, that you can't say, you take the wheat and I take the barley. Why, rabosai? Because the way it works in Yerusha is both of them own some of everything. So lemais, again, if it's all wheat, easy enough to say, you take the wheat on the south side, I'll take the wheat on the north side. But if there's barley, each of them get barley, each of them get wheat. V'tani Allah. And we learned about this. We learned about this. It would have taken me less time to read the Rashi, I just realized. V'tani Allah, O sechaver, sover halach, o maniach haseyavish. And we learned about this, that what? That the chaver has to go ahead and burn the lach, burn anything that was wet, meaning, because again, he has to assume that it was ritually impure, and he could go ahead and keep the yavish. So the Gemara says, amai, but why is that so? Yani chena legat haba. The boss said, I remember, what was our kasha? Our kasha was like this. I'm a Kohen, I got the truma from the Ama Aretz, not at the time where what? Not at the time of the pressing season. So now my Shaila is, I just want to leave it in my basement until the next pressing season. So the Gemara says, it's clear from here, that's what? That you can't. Because look at this case. Let's say so now the two brothers divided up stuff. So let's say again, I'm the Chaver, I got some wet produce as well. It's tummy. So what does the Braisa tell me to do with it? Braisa tell me to burn it. Why do I have to burn it? Let me just leave it in my basement until when? The next pressing season. Again, the produce of an Ama Aretz is tar during the pressing season of Shalom Yisrael. The fact that it doesn't say that indicates that what? Indicates that what? That does not work. Maybe not. Maybe B'davar She'in Logat. Maybe because what? Maybe because Lamaisa, whatever they're dividing up, is something that does not have, for example, a pressing season. What's an example saying that doesn't have a pressing season? Rashi says, Shechar Tamarim, date beer. What does it mean it doesn't have a pressing season, Rabosai? Everyone knows you always make date beer, right? Who doesn't? I'm saying, you know, meaning you always, there's no specific date beer. Date beer is good all the time. So there's no specific pressing season. So it has no pressing season. Thursday morning is fine. V'ani chen ala regel. Why didn't you leave it until the regalim? They both say, what's the chapa the regalim? Because in the regalim, remember, everybody, including Amei Haaretz, are metahir themselves. They say everybody's considered to be tar, to which the Gemara says, no, but davar she'enu mishtamer l'regel. At the end of the day, what are we talking about? Something that will not keep. It will not keep well until the regal. So we'll say, the point the Gemara is making over here is that l'maisa, there's no raya from this case. So the Gemara's question still stands in terms of can the chaver actually just put the produce of the Amaretz in his own basement until the next pressing season or not, the Gemara does not rule on that conclusively. So we'll say, however, remember again, if the Amaretz says to the Kohen, I went ahead and I separated out, I put Kodesh in this barrel, then he's believed even during the non-pressing season. To which the Gemara says, Tanan Hasam, Mod de Beishayim Beisel, Shebotkin Lo'ose Pesach, Ve'in Botkin Lo'ose Truma. Listen to this. So we learned over there that Beishamai agrees to Beisel, that we go ahead, Botkin. Now Botkin means what? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Beis HaPras. And I will say, Beis HaPras is a field in which there was a grave at some point in time, but the grave was plowed over, and we don't know where the bone fragments are. So what do you do? So you can go ahead. So the interesting enough, Rashi says over here, V'haya holich lasos pischo, Beis HaPras shal sodash nechrash bokever, mafsiko, botko b'neficho, v'miyesh etzem kisora ro'a v'nishmat nimeno, v'etzem kisora inu matame b'oil el b'mago mas, l'fichach bodeach b'neficho, shoyisten b'ragol. So listen to this. So Beishamai agrees with Beisol, that what? That if I'm going to do my Karban Pesach, and there is a Beis HaPras, there is a field that had a grave here that was plowed over. So what do? I can walk through the field, and what do you do, Abosai? You blow on the dirt in front of you. What's the point of blowing on the dirt in front of you? Because this way you will expose, if there's a bone fragment there, you'll be able to see the bone fragment and avoid the bone fragment. However, again, they ain't botkin la'ochle truma. But this process does not work to go ahead and allow you to eat truma. You know, I'll say that if you walk through a beis hapras, then what? You have to go through the purification process of 7 days before eating your truma. To which the Gemara says, my botkin, what does he mean botkin? Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, menafech adam beis hapras v'holich. It means that you could blow on the dirt of the field and you could walk through the field. Reb Chiya Bar Abba Mishmei du Ulam, Reb Chiya Bar Abba, the name of Ula said, Beis HaPras Shenidosh Tor. But yet again, I will say, what happened? Reb Chiya Bar Abba said that if you have a Beis HaPras that was plowed, it's Tor, Lo Ose Pesach. For those who went ahead and did Pesach, Lo Ha'em, you know, I will say, for someone who's going to do the Karim Pesach, Lo Ha'emidu Divrehem B'makom Kores, Lo Ochle Truma, Ha'emidu Divrehem B'makom Misa. So I will say, interesting, what the Gemara says over here is that Lamaisa, when it comes to Karim Pesach, whose non-fulfillment is subject to the prohibition of kares, the rabbis essentially suspended their rule. Now, they didn't totally suspend it. You can't walk through the Beis HaPras like there's no problem. You have to blow on the dirt in front of you to try to expose a bone fragment. But when it comes to Karim Pesach, where there is an issue, again, of kares, the rabbis allowed you to get through there in order to eat your Karim Pesach. When it comes to Chumra Rabosai, where what? We're supposed to remember, what's the worst case scenario? If we say that you're Tameh, then what happens? You have to wait 7 days before eating your truma, but you can still, I mean, you don't carry the truma through the Beis HaPras, but you can still go ahead and lamaisa again, eat your truma 7 days later. So therefore, the rabbis did not go ahead and suspend their law. All right, well, so you know what? Oh, let's just do one more line. Niboy luhu. Badek lepisko mashi yocha b'trumaso. What happens if you went ahead and let's say you checked the field. So I went through the field to do my Karim Pesach. I checked in no bone fragments. Can I now eat truma? So I got through the field successfully for Karim Pesach purposes. Can I go ahead and eat truma? Ula amar batka lepischo mutalecho b'trumaso. Ula says, yes, if you got through the field, you checked it sufficiently to get through it to do Karim Pesach, that enables you to eat truma as well. Rabba bar Ula amar batka lepischo asur lecho b'trumaso. Rabba, in the name of Ula, said, no, it's not true. Just because you checked it for Pesach, you may not go ahead and use it for truma. Amar Yehu Saba, lo tiflog alei du'ula. Don't go ahead and argue on Ula. Why? Disnan kavase, because we have a brisa that supports him. Ve'mamer hifrashti l'socha revi'is kodesh. Ne'eman, because we'll say, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that if the Amma Aret said that I separated a revi'is of kodesh into this barrel of truma, meaning the barrel that I used for truma, I used before for kodesh, then what? That Allah Maisa, he is believed. Amma made the mehemen akolish mehemen ami atruma. Therefore, what do you see from your Rabbi saying that once the Amma Aretz is believed for this usage of this barrel for kodesh, he's believed to testify about its ritual purity for truma. Hachanami so too over here made the mehemen apesach mehemen ami atruma. But say so too over in this case, if he was able to get through the Beis HaPras for Pesach purposes, and he was able to say that I was able to successfully navigate the Beis HaPras for Pesach, then what? Then he is believed to say that he successfully navigated the field, the Beis HaPras, for Truma purposes as well. Rabbi Yossi will stop over here. Emir Hashem, tomorrow's daf is going to take place during the break. Emir Hashem, so whatever time that is. Mishikoyach.